The scripture is today's lectionary psalm, Psalm 145, 1 through 13. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and grateful in all his deeds. You know, the Psalms were the hymn book of the children of Israel, of ancient Israel. About one half of the Psalms we ascribe to King David. What's interesting, though, do you remember we talked about in a sermon a long time ago? Of course I know you'd remember because you took notes of that sermon, I'm sure. Remember we talked about in the time of Moses and Korah's rebellion against Moses, and Korah and his people said to Moses, "Who made you a prince over us?" And for his rebellion, he was swallowed up in a great earthquake and he disappeared. The good news is that Korah's sons lived. And they became kind of the rebellious spirit of the children of Israel. And 11 of our Psalms are relegated to the sons of Korah, who rebelled against Moses. So our holy scripture keeps faith with those who were rebels. Knowing some of you, I know that must be a comfort to you. Why did King Saul choose young David to be a part of his court? Does anybody know that besides Sarah and Bill? He was what? He was a handsome young man. There's no doubt about that. I think he probably chose him for his singing ability and his poetry. For you see, it was only David who could soothe Saul's soul. Of course, for only so long. He later got jealous of David. His music soothed Saul's troubled soul. Why is music so important to us? Why is it so important to us as human beings? How many of you have the Amazon Prime Music or Pandora or another music service that you listen to all the time? It's the background of your life. I think music is so important to us because it's the language of heaven. I really think it is. For you see, music speaks at one and the same time to our soul and to our intellect. A good lyricist will combine with a good music writer and their words and their notes will come together and it will speak directly to the very depth of our being. Well, one of the most important jobs of the church is described in the first verse of this psalm. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever. One of the church's most important jobs is to tell the story of God. How do we receive that story to pass it on? These are never rhetorical. I was going to say, or trick questions. Sometimes they're trick questions, but never rhetorical. How do we receive that? What are all the ways that we receive that story? Our parents. Yeah, probably first, either your parents. My grandmother told me the basic stories of the Bible. It might have been a Sunday school teacher when you were young. I told you about my miscreant Sunday school past where we would play hooky from Sunday school, but not every Sunday. And when we were there, we learned the basics of those stories. How else do we learn those stories? The songs we sing, the scripture we read, and the book. The book. It says in that psalm, one generation will laud your works to another. That's our job. That's our job, is to carry the story forward. And when you get right down to it, life is really about story, isn't it? All of the great truths come to us in some way or another in the form of a story. So our job is to hear this story from our ancestors and pass it on. Or we hear it from the example of people that we admire. Or there are those times when pure inspiration is gleaned from our own quiet time with God. I encourage you to find your place and your time to be silent and listen to God. And what are we to do with that story once we have internalized it? Spread it one generation to the next. And the story of God was sung by the ancients from their hymn book. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. What does that tell us? It tells us that God acts with both goodness and justice. God's judgment is another form of God's love. God's creation was accomplished with this in mind. With goodness and justice, God accomplished creation. And our actions, need to be in balance with this creation that God has created out of the overflow of His love, and not in exploitation of them. We are beginning that here to be more aware of our place in God's creation and what we can do about it. I suspect over the next months and years that those lessons will come closer to us and we will apply more and more of them. Mary Louise and I have given up paper plates and cups. That may sound insignificant. However, we wash every dish that we eat off of now. You can do small things like that. We can do big things together as a group. But we need to do that. We need to do that. Our actions need to be in balance, not in exploitation of. Because Truly, creation is accomplished by the overflow of God's love. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His compassion is over all that God has made. God loves creation. That creation is continuing. Creation is not a once and all for all event. It is an ongoing activity. And our response to that God's gift in a loving creation is to be thankful. That must always be the first words to come out of our mouths. And the psalmist puts it this way: all of your work shall give thanks to God. That means that everything we do here, lives lived in thanksgiving are to be joyous. Lives lived in thanksgiving are to be lived for others. We are literally to give our lives away for others. Lives lived in thanksgiving are to be lived in the awareness of the source of our gratitude. The kingdom that the psalmist speaks is eternal in nature. And finally, the psalmist writes, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The kingdom that the psalmist speaks of is eternal in nature. My finite brain cannot fully understand infinity. Can yours? What are we to do? I can only trust in the love of God that I have learned from you and others and my grandmother and the ancients and Scripture. I can only trust in the eternal nature of that love and wait and see. Amen.